You're listening to Buffalo Bills Football Monday on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550. Now, the Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio, brought to you by
Northwest Bank. Make the switch to Northwest Bank and get back to living. By Losi and Ganji, Buffalo's workers' comp attorneys working hard for hardworking Western New Yorkers. By Arbeit Software, the best office phone system in Buffalo. And presented by Catholic Health, the right way to care.
All right, Bills win, 14-13 over the Detroit Lions. Good stuff here on the Extra Point Show today from you. You're bringing it, but now's the real challenge. Can we sustain the momentum for the next half hour and beyond here on the program? Got a couple of calls online, and I got more phone calls to get to from you if you could pick it up and dial. 803-0550-888. 550-2550 here on the Extra Point Show on WGR. So, Josh Allen, still some debate out there from Bills fans. You know, I want to say from national media, local media. I wanted to say that just now, but I've kind of realized the national media doesn't even watch the Bills that much. They think they know. They say things. The same thing with Tyrod last year. There was so much stuff about Tyrod that they said that I'm like, I don't think you actually watch what's going on here. Oh, I do. Yeah, no, you watch like maybe some highlights and go back and watch a few plays, but we're here. Like, we are here all the time watching. And many of us watch a lot more and more in depth. Some of you do out there. You go to NFL Game Pass, you get the All 22, all that stuff. Some of you don't. I go to every practice. I'm there every day. For whatever I can watch. I can't see the actual, you know, offense versus defense, stuff like that. But here we are again. We have this young quarterback in Josh Allen who was extremely polarizing when he was drafted, who has, I think, really won a lot of people over from people I've heard, people I've read, the way he's played. And there are some people who just tell you it doesn't matter. He's just not good enough. They don't like what they see. He's not progressing. And I am here to 100% disagree with that. So you're free to call and tell me why you think that at 803-0550, 888-550, 2550. Let's go to Luigi in Toronto. Hi, Luigi. You're on WGR.
How you doing, Salvatore?
I'm good, man. Thank you.
I don't know where to start and where to finish on this guy. This guy, Josh. I don't know if you remember when E.J. Manuel used to throw the ball towards the sidelines, his hand would kind of open up a little too much, and that ball would go flying, 12-yard pass over the sideline, over the guy's head.
Well, he had some of those, but the biggest thing with me with E.J. was he was a big guy who didn't throw big, you know what I mean?
He did not throw big, John. He did not throw big.
Yeah, he was always, E.J. was always, it was always funny to me because E.J. was a bigger quarterback who didn't throw like a big quarterback, and Tyrod was a smaller quarterback who threw like a bigger quarterback sometimes, you know what I mean?
100%. And this, I'm not one of your run-of-the-mill callers right now. I was actually backup quarterback on the 90 Grover Cleveland team.
Oh, well, good for you. All right.
Do they still have a football?
The backup quarterback. Were you the holder, too?
Hello. Anyway, what I see in Josh is he holds the ball a little too tight when he throws, and his feet need to open up a little bit more. That's what I see in the progression that I'm seeing from him is not leading me to believe that this guy's going to become a big-time quarterback.
Okay. Well, you don't think he can fix those things and work with people?
Well, Sal, here's the thing about the guy, though. You got a guy named, like Brett Favre, let's take for instance.
Did you say you think he will not become a big-time? I'm sorry, I misunderstood maybe.
Oh, yeah, I believe he has no chance. I was a quarterback from Little League.
All right, well, obviously, I don't know. Whatever you're trying to do there, I don't know. But that guy waited like 20 minutes to probably play a joke or something. Angelo in North Tonawanda. What's up, Angelo?
You know, Sal, I've been watching football for 40 years.
Were you the backup quarterback in high school and maybe the holder, too?
No, I was the middle linebacker.
All right, love it, Angelo.
I was in Doherty High School, and I was all Western New York.
All right. So you tell me, this must be resume day here on WGR. Go ahead, buddy. What's up?
You asked a question.
I did. Go ahead, man.
Well, when Jim Kelly was at his best, he had guys on receivers like Andre Reed. He had some multi-talented receivers that came back to the football. They were taught that. Andre Reed came back. He made Jim Kelly look fantastic. How many receivers that Kelly had that's true of? Now, here's a young kid who's young, fresh out of college. He's got all the talent in the world. He's got a shotgun for an arm. You teach the kid these things. These things just don't happen overnight. Soft touch, that's a little harder, but it can be taught. So I don't think the jury's out on this guy. I think this kid can be a very good football player, and I think he can lead this team, and he needs to be given the chance. I think guys like E.J. Manuel.
Well, he's going to be given the chance. He's given the chance right now. He's going to remain the starter.
Okay, and I'm saying like J.P. Lawson, a lot of those guys, when they put those guys in there, they failed. They threw them in there too soon. This kid's coming along. I think he's going to be a great football player. I really do. I think he has all the talent in the world. Just give him time. You can't expect him to take it to the Super Bowl right away. Just like Jack Eichel and those guys. They threw Jack Eichel in there. That kid's a young kid. He's still a kid. You know, I mean, and a lot on his shoulders. Now, if you watch him now, this kid's a multi-talented. He's no Connor David, but he ain't far behind.
Thank you. I very appreciate the call. Appreciate the call, Angel. Let's go to Mark in Jersey City. Hi, Mark.
How you doing, Sal? Sorry about the stat. It was last 2 weeks, and it was only for wide receivers, not injured.
People on the air have no idea what you're talking about right now.
The wide receivers.
I know, but you can't just call up and say, hey, sorry about the stat. Like, people have to know. Like, they're not on your Twitter feed. You know what I mean? There's hundreds of thousands of listeners. Let me explain, all right? Earlier today, I said on the radio, I wonder where Robert Foster ranks over the last 5 weeks as far as receivers, or last 5 weeks as far as receivers and yards. You tweeted me and said he's fourth in the league. And I said, wow, that's a great stat. But that was incorrect. You're right. It's okay. It happens. I make mistakes every day. You made a mistake. It's all right. But what we know now is he's 10th in the league over the last 4 games, I believe. But I was really wondering 5, because I think he has 3 100-yard games over his last 5. But either way, it's here nor there. We know he's playing well.
Correct. And you pretty much hit on everything I was going to say about there's just a certain, you said this even before the draft, that the waters are just muddied about this guy. And you at least consider the possibility the Bills would draft him. And it continues. 9 games into his NFL career, there is just a set of people and a set of media that are just, you would think it's an edict from above, the level of no nuance, no context with the criticism he gets. The one piece, the two ESPN, Bommy Jones and the other guy did about just laughing about Brady Quinn's comments about hope, ha-ha, if that's the kind of hope you want, go ahead. It's ridiculous. They don't show the cut-ups or the drops, receivers not making plays for them.
Of course not. We know how it works. That doesn't fit narratives. That doesn't fit people getting clicks, getting likes, getting watches. It just doesn't fit. So why do that? Why show everybody how you were wrong or run-of-the-mill stuff when you can just do it for all the laughs, right? I mean, that's what they're doing.
Correct. And I tweeted a stat last night, which is correct. Allen runs too much. He's not developing. He's not going to survive like this. He has 20 fewer rushes than Lamar Jackson, and he has almost 50 more yards rushing. And
yet the Baltimore Ravens are getting praised for how they're using Lamar Jackson.
Correct. Oh, that's smart coaching. He's working to his strengths. But Allen's just, he's inaccurate and he'll never get better. He's running because he can't throw. And the spin on this guy is, it's amazing. I've never seen it. You would think that they have a mandate from above that's what they're going to level at this kid. He's going to suck, and no matter what he does, just attack, attack, attack.
I hear you, man. I see it. I hear it. And, you know, we have 2 more games to watch him play, and then we can reassess some things, and then we can see what they do around him, and he gets a full offseason, and that's when I'm going to start making much more definitive, concrete judgments.
Correct. And if they can't see that this offense and this team is palpably different with him under center as compared to Nate Peterman, Derek Anderson, they're blind, and they're not watching, just like you said.
Thanks, Mark.
Thank you, Sal.
803-0550 if you want to jump on board here on the Extra Point Show. We got to get to our view from the sidelines, take a look ahead to the next game, because Josh Allen's got a big challenge on his hands coming up on Sunday. We'll do that in just a second. But first, Rob in Buffalo is going to chime in. Hi, Rob. You're on WGR.
Hey, Sal. What's going on?
Not much, buddy. Thank you.
First time caller. I love the show. Listen to it every day.
Thank you.
I just want to say that I'm excited about what I see with both franchises, especially with our new young rookie quarterback. I think some of the throws that I saw yesterday, he's definitely progressing. He's definitely getting better. It was like a couple throws to the sidelines he made, and then there was one in the middle of the field where I think it was Zay Jones had three or four guys covering him, and he put it in the right spot where Zay Jones could fall down and catch the ball. Those are like Tom Brady throws. Some of the shorter throws, you know, I've seen him make in the last few games. He's making those quick throws, 3-second drop, bam, the ball is there. You know, the receivers drop some of those balls, but I don't know. I think some of that comes with chemistry. You know, those guys getting to know each other a little better. The Sabres, man, I'm just excited about what's going on with them. I went to the Phoenix game the other night, and, you know, those guys are fast. Like, you see them on TV, but when you see them in real life, they're
It's amazing, isn't it?
It's amazing.
Hockey is the sport that you have to really go to appreciate live, right? I mean, it does not do justice on television, not at all.
Right. I mean, the passing was crisp. When they do those cross ice passes, I mean, that puck is smacking the stick and those guys are across the blue line.
Yeah, it's improved a lot. But Rob, it was a good weekend for Buffalo sports fans, that's for sure.
Absolutely. So thanks for letting me on, and let's go Buffalo.
All right, thanks, Rob. Appreciate the phone call. That's a good Buffalo sports fan there. Let's go to Tim in Buffalo. Hi, Tim. Go ahead, Tim. You're on the air.
Hey, Sal. Sorry, this is my first time calling.
That's okay. We'll do it together. What's up?
I just want to say, you know, I'm very optimistic about Josh Allen, but I was just curious, you know, what was the biggest factor in how he got much less rushing yards yesterday than he has been in the previous.
I think that the Lions backed off a little bit. You know, he had a lot of blitzing against him. The Jets brought the house. They really pressured him a lot. I didn't see the Lions really bringing a lot of pressure. I thought they were covering. They were like, okay, we're not going to bring a lot of pressure. We're going to make you stay in the pocket because if you want to run, we're going to have linebackers out there who are going to basically be able to stop you. I think from first glance being on the field, that's what I saw yesterday. So I think it was more of he had more time to throw because they weren't bringing pressure, but at the same time, he doesn't have much room to run if he wants to take off.
Gotcha. Well, either way, I'm very optimistic, and I'm tuned in each week just to see how much more he grows. So you're doing a great job. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. You're here for Allen. I mean, I get it. That's what everybody, a lot of people are saying. I'm here for Josh. I'm just here for Josh. I'm here for Allen. Here to watch him. In the meantime, they got a football game with a football team that grinded it out, gutted it out, and won the game 14-13. I thought that was good yesterday for this team. Mike up in Syracuse. What's up, Mike? You're on WGR.
Hey, Sal. How you doing?
Good. Thank you.
Hey, full disclosure, I was not a backup quarterback at Western New York, but I bet you I could throw a football over those mountains.
I bet you could, man. Thank you. You're right. So many people can these days. It's amazing. It's like there were 3 million people at the comeback game. Now there's a lot of people who can throw balls over mountains.
I'm still trying to get over the fact that a backup quarterback has made that evaluation. But anyway, one, do you see – actually, contract player question. Do you see any way that Charles Clay comes back at his existing salary next year? Two, regarding Robert Foster, he was an undrafted rookie, so he came in under the rookie contract rules, but he was cut.
Yeah.
Re-signed. So do we still get him for 4?
Yeah. So that's a really good question. I have actually tried to find the answer to that. I'm not sure. Foster is definitely here through next year. All right. Let's just say that. And I think he's another year after that. I think he gets the 3 years. So he doesn't get. When you sign as an undrafted free agent, I don't think it's a 4-year deal automatically like draft picks. You know what I mean? Right. I think it's 3 years for him, but you're right. His circumstance changed because they cut him. They waived him, though. It's the difference. They waived him, and then they brought him back. So I think he might have the same contract structure under those circumstances. If not, here's the good news, though, Mike. I'm pretty positive that's the case. He still would be an exclusive rights or a restricted free agent at best.
Yeah, because the way he's playing right now, that kid is
yes.
Getting dollar signs for his next contract.
That's right. And again, I don't have the correct answer. I have inquired. I haven't been able to figure that out completely or get the right answer on that because it's Isaiah McKenzie, too. Now, McKenzie's in the similar boat. McKenzie is in his second year, but he was released by Denver, and you know then the Bills claimed him. So I don't know. I don't know where all that stands, but I don't think either of them you have to worry about this year. After next year, we'll see. As far as Charles Clay is concerned, could I see a scenario where he's brought back? Yes, I could, because A, he's their best all-around tight end. Even though you might be frustrated with him and his salary, he really is. I mean, Jason Kroom can't block like him, and Logan Thomas isn't multifaceted as much as him. But the other issue is here, Mike, that he has, if you release him, sure, you save $4.5 million. You also take a $4.5 million dead cap hit next year for that.
And you create a hole. And his blocking seems to be still okay. Is it just his knees are shot and he can't run? Or
well, I think it's, you know, he's had some injuries he's dealt with, things like that. I think that he's not available at practice all the time. I think that impacts it. So, no, I don't know. I look, he hasn't had a good year. I still think he overall, though, he's your best option at tight end. And that's why I would say don't be so quick to think that they're just going to get rid of him. I think you'd have to upgrade there first.
Thanks, Sal. Great job as always.
All right. Thank you. It's a question I get a lot. And as far as Foster is concerned and his contract status, yeah, again, trying to poke around on that, trying to figure that out. I'm not totally sure because, yeah, he was an undrafted free agent. So he would have his, I think he had a 3-year undrafted free agent deal. I think that's how it works. And then he was released, though. Then he resigned. And I don't know if that changed the status of the contract or what, but don't worry about this year. We'll know in time. That's the thing. As long as you don't have to worry about this year, he's not going anywhere. He'll be on the team next year. And we'll know by then. We'll know and we'll get a better idea for that with Robert Foster. And Isaiah McKenzie, for that matter, as well. Rich in Buffalo. Hi, Rich. You're on WGR.
Hey, Sal. How you doing, buddy?
Good. Thank you.
Hey, what I saw yesterday is I watched Matt Patricia make his defense keep Allen in the pocket.
Yep.
And beat him throwing the ball instead of running all over the place. And I thought he did a pretty good job of that. He had decent time. You could see where Detroit left two spies on him, one on each side of the field, and he did a really good job finding receivers in the intermediate range passes. And that long one to Foster was great. He just missed Deontay Thompson on that other long one.
And I don't know whose fault that was, because when I look at it, either A, we could say Josh put it a little bit too much in the middle, and he should have, you know, maybe put it a little more to where Deontay was running down the hashes. Or you could say maybe Deontay was supposed to get to the middle a little bit earlier. I don't know.
Yeah, the other thing I saw, too, the second half defensive adjustments. This team is really starting to make some good adjustments in the second half. And I don't know if Alexander gets enough credit. He played a different position yesterday and was really, really good at it.
Yeah, look, he's had a really good year. He's had a Pro Bowl type of year. He's so versatile. He takes care of his body so well. I really believe that Lorenzo Alexander, A, should make the Pro Bowl this year, and B, the Bills should give him another contract.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, hey, thanks. Hey, one other thing. On the sideline, you're on the sidelines, right?
Yes, sir.
What I saw a couple times when the camera panned over there is the togetherness this team has. When Allen makes that big play, I saw Jerry Hughes run right up to him and pat him and going, yeah, that's, I really like that camaraderie, if you could say it like that.
I would say that I think Josh Allen gives his teammates a reason to like him. You know what I mean? If that makes sense. And they appreciate his enthusiasm. They appreciate his leadership. And most of all, they appreciate his competitiveness.
Oh, thanks, Sal.
All right. You're welcome. Let's take a look at our, and that's a great segue, by the way, Rich, because that right now I'm going to go to the extra point from the sidelines, brought to you by Catholic Health, quality care that keeps you in the game. That's the right way to care. My extra point from the sidelines today, red uniforms, December home game, loud crowd. It was different yesterday. It was just a little different. Red uniforms, I know they wore red at home last year in the snow game, right? But it just looked different. And it sounded cool. It sounded cool that you had a team with 4 wins hosting a team with 5 wins, and yet you had this crowd that was there. They were into it. They were jacked. Third downs came. They were loud. You know what happens a lot of times this time of year? This is what happens. Some of the season ticket holders, they've been going to games all year. It gets to the holidays. They're like, I'm going to sell my ticket. Sometimes you get a just a bit of a different crowd and a different type of noise. I saw quite a few Lions fans, but I saw more of a younger crowd yesterday than I normally do. You know, and I don't know, maybe it's unscientific. I don't know if that's true or not. It just seemed to me when I looked around and kind of walked up and down, I do that before the game and during the game, and I'm doing my job, looking at people on the wall, on the sidelines, things like that, in the stands. It seemed to me to be a bit of a younger crowd yesterday. And I think that comes from maybe people having an opportunity to buy tickets on the secondary market. Maybe season ticket holders don't want to go. It's a little colder. It's December. The team is out of it. So it gives an opportunity to some people to go to a game when they normally wouldn't. There were young Lions fans, whether they're in Buffalo from here, they took the trip over from Detroit. I don't know. It was just different, but it was good. It was a good crowd. I liked it. It was fun. It was a good atmosphere, despite the circumstances of two teams with a combined 9 wins coming in to the game. That's your extra point. And then the red uniforms. I thought that was a good contrast yesterday. The red uniforms against the Lions, silver and white. That's your extra point from the sidelines, brought to you by Catholic Health, quality care that keeps you in the game. That's the right way to care. Next week, as we focus on the next game, brought to you by Atwell Eye Care, your vision, our focus, the Bills will take on the New England Patriots, who, by the way, have now lost 2 games in a row. They lost yesterday to the Pittsburgh Steelers. And before you say, oh my God, they're going to be mad, they're going to smoke the Bills. This is a New England team that's been making mistakes, that's showing some cracks in the armor, and that the Buffalo Bills, I think, played pretty well when they came here on Monday night, but they couldn't score any points in the end, and they got a pick 6 the other way. They lost 25-6. But the Bills fought them. They held Brady down for a while. And I think they're going to go to New England and give them a fight. New England lost 34-33 to Miami after that epic, heartbreaking ending for them. And then 17-10 to the Pittsburgh Steelers yesterday. And in both games, Tom Brady made critical mistakes in the red zone. The Patriots are on their way to winning an AFC East title once again, but they're not on their way to the number one seed, and maybe not even a first-round bye. It'll be interesting next week in New England. And a good challenge for Josh Allen against a Bill Belichick coach team. I'm excited to see how he handles that challenge. That's our focus on the next game, brought to you by Atwell Eye Care. Your vision, our focus. Take a timeout here. We'll be back on the Extra Point Show on WGR.
Here's the snap. Allen looks into the end zone. Plenty of time. Scans the end zone. Now he cocks his arm, runs to his right. He may keep it himself. Allen at the 5. Into the end zone. He goes. Touchdown. Touchdown. Josh Allen does it yet again. Touchdown, Buffalo.
That call courtesy John Murphy and the Bills Radio Network. Let's go to Michael, who's up next here on WGR. What's up, Mike?
Ho, 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 Sal Capaccio. Merry Christmas, Feliz Navidad, and all that, man.
All right, Merry Christmas to you too, Santa. What's up?
Questions for you. I wanted to get 3 things out, man.
Okay.
Joe Flacco seems to be on the outs in Baltimore. They got the shiny new quarterback, and it's like, what have you done for me lately, Joe? So where do you think he would end up, and what's his future line?
Well, let me start with that one before you go to your next one. He has a huge contract and situation where it's not going to be that easy for them, but I agree with you. I think they take a huge, let me see, next year, if they cut him before June 1st, they're looking at $16 million of dead cap hit. So, I mean, that's a tough situation. You know, I think he could fit very well with the Giants or with the Jacksonville Jaguars because they're going to both be in transition.
Jaguars, that's interesting and scary. That's probably just what they would need. Also, man, I'm watching this latest trend here in college football where all the stars seem to sit out. Like Syracuse has got West Virginia quarterback's not.
Yeah, Will Greer's not playing. The line moved from 7-1 because of that alone.
It's crazy. What do you make of that?
Here's the thing, man. I get caught up because, these guys, they want to be there for the team, and I think you should play for your team. I think you should be out there. You should be a team player. You should do whatever it takes. It's a game. It's on your schedule. But let's be honest, these guys have careers and livelihoods, and we have seen players get hurt, and it has cost them millions of dollars. It happened to Jalen Smith from Notre Dame. I mean, it happens. And, you know, I totally understand. We're not talking about a national championship. We're talking about a bowl game that they're going to get paid either way. It's not like the school gets more or less money whether they win. They get paid for going to the bowl game. The school does, and the player does not. So I find it hard to hold it against them. When initially, when it first started, I thought a little bit different. But look, man, I don't blame it. You know, if it's my son and he's in that situation, I tell him it's his choice, and he has a lot riding on the line. And if he were to get hurt and cost himself millions of dollars, I understand.
I think you got a good point there, Matt. That's well taken. And I want to keep with that West Virginia-Syracuse game, because I called you once before and I talked to you about Eric Dungy, and I'm not going into the draft or anything like that, but I kind of like his body size, his arm strength, and he's got the attitude. Now, if he runs like he runs in college, he's going to get crushed.
Yeah.
Okay? But I think he would be worth being a third-string quarterback.
Maybe. We'll see. I think he'll get into a camp somewhere, so you'll probably get that, and then from there we'll see, you know, what he can do with that. Depends on his situation, his coaching, all of that, Mike.
Oh, I think he'd be a really nice addition to Buffalo. I just think his attitude, man.
Yeah, I bet you he would probably rub this coaching staff right, you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, I think he's worth a scrap heap in the clearance bin, because I don't know if he's going to get drafted.
Well, we'll see. We'll see what happens. These guys, you know, if they don't get drafted, they have a lot of choices, and, you know, it's not always just who you want, it's where they want to go, too.
Thanks, Sal, man.
All right, no problem. Thank you very much for the phone call. Dana in Buffalo. Hey, Dana.
Hey, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good. I just want to talk a little bit about stats. I'm not really a stats guy, but the completion percentage in particular with our QBs got me just a hair worried for the future. I'll hear your thoughts off the air.
Well, stay on the air here, but let's work through this. I hear you, Dana, and I think you have every right to be concerned about that. I think stats aren't the only thing that matter. I think in a lot of cases, they matter a lot less than other cases. In this case, with this particular quarterback, I think we all knew coming in that he wasn't going to be the highest completion percentage guy in the world. You'd love it higher. I would, too. There was no doubt about that. But I think you have to know what your expectations are with him. Where do you need him to be? What does it need to be effective for him to win? I don't want him at 52.2. That's where he is now. But I also don't think that he has to be over 65% for them to be successful and win football games with him.
Yeah, I would agree. And
I think there are a lot of factors, Dana, too. Like, I mean, and I've said this. Look, Trent Dilfer said before the draft, and I agree with this. He said, completion percentage is not at all a measurement of accuracy. It is one particular component that can give you a clue, but there are so many things that go into accuracy. I think he's been a lot more accurate over the last 4 weeks than people seem to give credit for, even on top of the completion percentage the way it is. When I'm watching him throw footballs, there are some he misses that he shouldn't miss, but I think he's been way more quote-unquote accurate than I expected him to be, a lot of people expected him to be, and what the completion percentage reflects. That said, I think he needs to be better overall completing passes than what he's doing now.
Yeah, I'm exactly with you. Thanks.
Okay. I mean, that's the best way I can say it. You talk yourself in circles with this completion percentage stuff sometimes. You really do. That's the best way I can say it, though. We'll get to sit up and stand down here in just a moment. Let's go to Joe first in Cheektowaga. Hi, Joe. You're on WGR.
Hi, Sal. How you doing?
Good, thanks.
Sal, I want your opinion on something. I have a problem thinking about free agency, and this is my problem. I feel like, you know, would a premier, I'm talking about a premier free agent, come to Buffalo? Because most of these guys that are really good, they have their choice. Aren't they going to go to a team that's got the potential to go to Super Bowl? You know, I mean, like when Mario Williams, he was the big man on the free agency that year, and he came to Buffalo, and he came strictly for the money and showed his passion for the game. So what's your feeling on that?
I know. So give me again. Maybe I'm misunderstanding. Are you asking a question? What is my feeling about what? That someone would come to Buffalo?
Yeah. A premier free agency. Wouldn't they come just strictly for the money because they'd give them a lot of money? Or, you know, because the good ones, they want to go.
Like who? Like, wait. But first of all, lots of guys of Mario Williams level, like, usually don't even become free agents. I mean, if you're talking about the elite, he was a superstar type of free agent, okay? I mean, at the time that he was a free agent, those guys usually don't. You're talking about mostly, if you're a really good football player, there are a lot of reasons. And sure, a lot of times you have to overpay them in Buffalo. But you know what? You might be able to show them what Josh Allen's doing, a wide receiver, and say, look, we're going to throw the ball deep. You're going to get numbers. You're going to score touchdowns. That might be a reason. Micah Hyde is a really good football player. He chose to come to Buffalo. You know why? Because he liked the smaller market. He didn't want to go to a big city. He played in Green Bay. There's always different factors, Joe, you know?
Well, that makes me feel a little better than I just felt. I was worried that they wouldn't come here because it's Buffalo and we're not at the point we're going to be into a Super Bowl. So if that's what you feel, that helps me.
And not everybody has the same amount of money anyway to offer. So, you know, I mean, you just have to play the game the way it is and do your best. But, yeah, sure. I mean, sometimes you have to overpay. Some people don't want to come because it's Buffalo. Some people don't want to go to New York. I think a lot of that stuff's been overrated. If you're good, you have a good organization, people will consider you, and then you have to pay them, just like everybody else. All right, time to get it to who we're sitting up for this week and who we're standing down on, all right? Let's sit up for a team that I have actually stood down on earlier this year. This has happened a few times where I actually have it reversed, but hey, it's in the ebb and flows of a season. Do you realize that the Cleveland Browns have won 4 of their past 5 games? The Browns now are 6-7-1. They're 6-7-1. They have a chance for a winning season after what they went through last year, what they've been for the last many years. A lot of people said, yep, they're going to be better this year. They're a lot better. And they're especially a lot better after they fired Hugh Jackson. But they have won 4 of their last 5 games. They've beaten the Falcons, the Bengals, the Panthers, and the Broncos. I mean, and then the game they lost was at Houston. They lost 29-13. Baker Mayfield playing well. He's been the best rookie quarterback so far, no doubt about that. And oh, by the way, the Bills are at the Browns next year. Did you know that? The way the schedule works out, the Bills are at the Cleveland Browns next year. The Bills play all of the AFC North teams next year. They play at the Browns and at the Steelers. They got the Ravens and who am I missing there? Coming to Buffalo. They got the Ravens and Bengals, sorry. Ravens and Bengals are coming to Buffalo. Steelers and Browns, Bills on the road next year. That's how it works out. So that's my sit-up, the Cleveland Browns. You know who I'm standing down on? It's just been a tough year for those Green Bay Packers, and it might be a hard reset for them. I mean, they have Aaron Rodgers, so they'll always kind of be in the mix, right? But man, this is just, they don't have a really good roster, and now they've lost, what is it, 1, 2, 3, 4 out of 5, and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 out of 8. They might be in for a hard reset. We'll see who they get as a head coach, but yesterday they lost, put up a fight, lost to the Chicago Bears 24-17. They have scored exactly 17 points in 3 of their last 4 games. I'm not sure what's going to happen in Green Bay in the offseason as far as their coach, but we need to stand down on them and who they are right now because they have fallen behind, clearly, several teams in the NFC. And particularly, maybe even in their own division, the NFC North, because I think Minnesota's still a pretty good team, although they've been disappointing this year. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. Got my Hey Buddy for you today. Also, more phone calls on the way on the Extra Point Show on a Buffalo Football Monday on WGR. All right, let's wrap up the phone call portions of this show with Randy in Buffalo. Hi, Randy, you're on WGR. What's up?
Hey, Sal, happy holidays.
You too, thank you.
A couple things. You know, comparing to Josh Allen, compared to, say, the other rookie quarterbacks, they've all kind of playing for teams that are, okay, they wouldn't have been drafted that high that needed quarterbacks, but they're all seem to be, okay, they play well, they're learning, they make rookie mistakes, and they're getting better, all of them, I think. And if you take a look at Josh Allen, he's got that intangible that you watch him on the sidelines with his teammates, and they actually have a connection there. And I just like your comment on it. Thank you.
Yeah, like I commented on it earlier. I said I think that his teammates really respect his leadership. They respect his talent. And most of all, they respect his competitiveness. And he brings it all the time. And we've seen that. And they talk about it a lot. I think he makes them excited and enthused that he's their quarterback. Not everybody's got that aura about him. There's a lot more that goes in the position of just throwing a football. There really is. And he has a lot of room to grow still throwing the football. And he has a lot of room to grow to as well as being a leader. All of that. But I like what he's doing in all facets as far as his growth and his development and where we're going with this. And I'll go back to something I said very first segment in case you missed it. Can you imagine if he wasn't playing now? If they didn't insert him back into the lineup like a lot of people wanted because A, Matt Barkley played well, or B, because you might get him hurt, quote unquote. Couldn't imagine. I'm glad he is, and they got a tough test next Sunday in Foxborough, the last road game of the year. Always makes me sad, the last road game of the year. Last travel weekend of the year. Although I do like that stadium to go to. It'd be nice if the Bills could give the Patriots their third straight loss, and maybe Josh Allen can make that happen. It's going to be a challenge against a Bill Belichick-coached defense. It's a Buffalo Football Monday. It's the Extra Point Show now. And then we have One Bills Live with John Murphy and Steve Tasker, noon till 3. At 3 o'clock, it's Shope and the Bulldog. I believe it's just the Bulldog today. He will have Kyle Williams at 4:30. Sandwiched around that, you'll hear from Sean McDermott live down at the stadium with the media at 4 p.m., and then you'll hear again from Sean McDermott live with Bulldog at 5 p.m. So you got a lot going on. Howard and Jeremy back tomorrow morning, and they'll start talking about the Sabres again, as the Sabres have the Florida Panthers coming up at home on, well, tomorrow night. Time for the weekly segment, Hey Buddy. And as much as I do, what I do here is I do sit up and stand down. In case you don't know, that's always got to be NFL related. That's my own rule I put into place. Sit up on something in the NFL, stand down on something else in the NFL. But my buddy can be anyone, anything, sports, music, entertainment, culture. I think this week, this weekend, after the weekend we had here in Buffalo, sports-wise, I don't think there's any doubt who needs to be my buddy.
Full steam ahead, gets in over the Washington line and dragged it right to it, took a shot, he scores! Jack Eichel! Oh my, what a play! Coming soon to a theater near you, Sick Mitts, starring Jack Eichel.
Brought back out by Darlene, who got it on to center ice and leaves it for Eichel, cutting it on goal, the shot, he scores! Jack Eichel, shades of Washington last night, same spot! Guns at home, Buffalo 2-1.
Jack Eichel. Hey, buddy, keep it rolling. My goodness. He has at least 2 points. He has multiple points in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of his last 6 games. It's incredible.
And how about RJ's call on the Washington?
Oh, I love it. Sick Mitts. Coming to a theater near you, starring Jack Eichel. Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. 4 points yesterday back in his hometown of Boston, 2 against the Washington Capitals. He had 1 against Arizona. He had 2 against the Kings, 2 against the Flyers, 2 against the Maple Leafs. His last 6 games, points-wise, 2, 2, 2, 1, 2, 4. Now I believe top 10 in the league in scoring, maybe 4th or 5th after last night, I think that's where he is, 4th or 5th last night. After last night, I didn't go and check after all the games. It's awesome. It's a good hockey team. I was kind of thinking, that 10-game winning streak, a lot of games by one goal. Then they go on that 5-game losing streak, got a couple points in there, and I'm thinking, all right, you know, some of that 10-game winning streak was fool's gold, but got me thinking maybe they're just not that good. I think they are. I mean, they are a Sam Reinhart gaping net hit the post away from going 2-0 on that road trip this weekend.
Not to mention, like,
and I'm not trying to bang on Sam Reinhart because he's played terrific. He's got a 10-game point streak. But that's how close they came this weekend to sweeping the Capitals and Bruins.
Yeah, and that's the Capitals and the Bruins.
Right.
We're not talking about just like, oh, hey, Arizona and L.A.
Right.
Like, this is teams that are cup contenders year in, year out.
You're right, man. It's fun. It's fun watching him, especially, and it's fun watching, you know, what the Sabres are doing right now. Compared to, you know, the Bills and their situation, there's a lot of similarities with Jack Eichel, the captain, the leader of the team, putting him on his back, his growth, but he's already arrived at a certain level. He's playing at an MVP-type level. I did the numbers. John Vogel from The Athletic tweeted out where he is as far as stats-wise projection. He's projected for 109 points. I did the numbers and looked back. 109 points, that's higher than any MVP in recent, like the last four or five non-goalie MVPs did not have 109 points. They had less.
A lot of, like, heading into the season, my thing was, if you can have a Taylor Hall-esque season where you led the team around and helped get them to the playoffs, that should get you the MVP. Jack Eichel has done that, but
I mean, Rantanen is having an even better year, and if they get to the playoffs, I mean, maybe he does it. So I don't know if he's going to win it, but he's playing at that type of level is the point, right? I mean, which is incredible. And Jeff Skinner, a couple more goals. This guy just keeps putting pucks in the net. It's incredible. Love it. I really like what I'm seeing from that team. I like what I'm seeing from Josh Allen. You can read all about it. Sal Sticks, WGR550.com. Good show today. I really appreciate it. Once again, John Murphy and Steve Tasker up next on One Bills Live. I want to thank Derek Kramer for all his hard work today producing the program. Lots of you called in, so Derek had to manage a lot of things, and I always appreciate when he does that. Stick around. It's a Buffalo Football Monday. We have a lot headed your way here as we wrap up the Bills beating the Lions 14-13.